My friends are degenerates, but I never change them. Liars, cheats, and hypocrites, not the time for saving.
You are listening to The Blitz.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can get us on Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Tyler Drew Scott. You can text the show, 713-780-3776. Or you can get on the Twitch channel, watch there, comment there. You can hear talk on the break. First hour, we focused on the Rockets, and now we're going to switch gears to the NFL and go through all of the games from yesterday.
Football matches.
And we'll start off with the Seahawks-Falcons. And I know you tried to talk me off the Falcons, who I did bet on. You know what I did not account for? The fact that their defense is every bit as bad as the Texans. And they were last year, too. I should have known better. But the Seahawks looked sharp. But you know, it was almost like they were playing robots out there on Falcons defense.
The Falcons offense does look amazing, though. I think they're going to be good, but it's... That may not be enough.
No, and yeah, you mentioned the one thing that I liked about the Falcons, they were able to move the ball and put up points, but yeah, and I do think they may have a number two receiver now in Calvin Ridley, who you mentioned last week. But
they may have a new number two receiver in Julio Jones going forward.
But having said all that, Russell Wilson was terrific. The Seahawks controlled the ball on offense more. The Seahawks were just clearly the better team. Falcons did get some garbage points late too. So, but yeah, big win for the Seahawks. Bills 27, Jets 17. My Super Bowl pick looked really good yesterday against a very bad football team.
And there's still some things about Josh Allen that I watch and I go, oh God, like he misses some wide open guys. He's not extremely accurate, but he is such a good runner, and he is so physical, and he's balls. I mean, he's got a lot of young Cam Newton to him, and with him and the defense that they've got, maybe you're not. I mean, I them winning the Super Bowl, I'm always going to have my doubts about, but they may be a real contender.
Well, you were making fun of me last week because you said I didn't want to look bad with a stupid prediction. I predicted Bills Vikings Super Bowl. So,
well, now the Vikings, that certainly looks stupid already.
But no, I think the one thing I would just be a little cautious about, I don't like Allen running the ball 14 times. I think that's a good way to get him beat up. I mean, he's a big, tough guy.
See, I don't know. I think I do. That's where I think he's kind of like Cam. I don't know that he gets beat up.
Well, it eventually beat him up.
The long term, it'll be a problem. But I think he's young, if you can use him like a hammer, use him like a hammer.
I think 7 to 10 times a game would be ideal. I think you get 14 or 15, I think you're asking a little much. But
I like Zach Moss, too.
Yeah.
I think the Bills' offense is going to be better this year than it's probably been. Maybe since like Drew Bledsoe played for the Bills.
Yeah, they're pretty good on both sides of the ball. Now, I also don't want to lose sight of the fact that the Jets are garbage.
The Jets are horrible. And I mean, I don't know that Sam Darnold's like give up on him material yet, but he's toeing that line.
Bears, Lions.
Same draft class, by the way. Josh Allen.
Yeah.
And Lamar Jackson.
Well, it's funny
because Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, we'll get the Baker. We'll get the Baker. Remember all those people who told us we were idiots for thinking Baker Mayfield couldn't play? Bears 27.
I never forget when people think I'm an idiot, especially when I'm right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It always sticks with me, Fred.
Every now and then when I am an
idiot.
Remember
when I said, oh, John Football's not going to be good in the NFL?
How dare you, sir?
And God forbid, guess who questioned, and I wasn't even really questioning if Joe Burrow's good, because I think Joe Burrow has a chance to be good. I think the Bengals are doing him a disservice by playing him right now with no preseason, just saying, hey, rookie, you're out there. And he made some awful. He had the drive at the end of the game, which should have been a game-winning touchdown drive had they not had an OPI call, and then should have been at least a game-tying drive, gets wiped out by fat kicker. But the rest of the game, Joe Burrow was awful. And made some horrible reads, horrible decisions. And literally, I mean, he threw away the game on that weirdo shovel pass thing. Like, that doesn't work in the NFL. But I don't necessarily, but people are already, how dare you? How dare you? Quite like, okay, if you think Joe Burrow's going to be great, that's fine. Maybe he is, but I don't think the Bengals are helping him out by putting him out there right now.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to judge a guy off one game with no preseason. I'm just
judging the fact that he's out there game one with no preseason.
But I think you might as well get him some experience. I just think the situation of being in Cincinnati is not ideal.
No.
So, all right, let's we'll get back to we were talking Bears Lions, and we mentioned this a little earlier with the DeAndre Swift drop. Mitch Trubisky, who I'm guessing every Bears fan in the world
cashed on, by the way.
Did you?
Yeah, I said Bears. Bears was one of my plays this week, and I was kicking myself after a little while. I was going, you got to be kidding me. And then, because Mitch Trubisky is balled out against the Lions.
And he did in the fourth quarter. And they went at 27-23, scored 21 points in the fourth quarter to win the game, and a big drop by DeAndre Swift in the end zone that would have won the game for the Lions. But the Bears get by, and the Lions do what the Lions do. Packers beat the Vikings 43-34. Packers look pretty sharp, like a team that was not going to miss a beat here. Aaron Rodgers had a big game. The Vikings,
aren't the Vikings supposed to be kind of good on defense?
Yeah, well, they looked like they weren't nearly. It looked like a preseason game for them on defense. And then you're asking Kirk Cousins to try to match Aaron Rodgers. I mean, the Vikings have to run the ball first to set up Cousins, and you get down like they did. Not going to happen. And so then the pace favored the Packers, and the Packers look really good. Aaron Rodgers looked really good, and I'm glad I have him on my fantasy team this week. So there's that. Patriots beat the Dolphins 21-11. Cam Newton back to being Cam Newton. He ran the ball 15 times, too, in addition to...
Yeah, and I don't know how much... I don't know how much that's going to work, how long that's going to work for, but... It worked this week. I don't know if it'll work long term.
All right. The first of the games where you just said, what the hell? The Washington Football Club beats the Eagles 27-17. The Eagles were out 17-0. Look like they're going to run away with it. Then Carson Wentz those picks. And the next thing you know, Washington wins.
Yeah. Carson Wentz should be embarrassed. That's a lot of that is on him and that offensive line. And, you know, for a guy, Carson Wentz, who's like looking to take that next step, looking to be a not just even, I mean, like he's looking to be an MVP caliber guy. He wants to be an elite level quarterback. What an awful, awful showing. And he's got to get it together, because while he did have some early skins on the wall and he looked really good for early, but now injuries, and then that's how you start off. No thanks.
And look who's in first place in the NFC East.
Yeah.
After 1 week. Well, the Giants are still playing tonight, but you're Washington FCs. Raiders beat the Panthers 34-30. This was a pretty good football game. I enjoyed watching. Teddy Bridgewater looked okay at times, but the Raiders, you know, I think... people want rid of Derek Carr. Might want to just back off on that a little bit.
Yeah.
And they had so it's a good win for them. And I think the Panthers are going to be a team that gets better as the season goes on. As Matt Rhule gets his guys in there, because defensively they really struggled.
The Panthers also, I mean, handing it off to the fullback on a game-deciding play instead of the best running back in the whole world is certainly questionable.
Yeah, well, and that's what you get with a rookie coach, right? You're going to get some kind of decisions like that where you go, not so much. The other WTH game, the Jaguars beat your beloved Colts 27-20. And a big day for Gardner Minshew. And the Colts, I guess they were down 24-20 at the time. And this is what concerned me about Phillip Rivers. Fourth quarter, Phillip Rivers tends to make mistakes. And that interception he threw, you're just like, what? I admit, I did not see this coming, that the Jaguars would beat the Colts.
It would have been a perfect NFL weekend for me had the Colts just won. I had them money lined with the Seahawks in a parlay, and they were, they needed to win by two because they were 1.5 point tease piece. So they were down to just had to win by 1.5 Win by 2 points. I sweep my NFL card. They lose outright. And I'm like, oh, man, that should have been a huge week. I don't know, man. Philip Rivers throwing the ball that much is not a recipe for success for them. That's not going to work. I assumed when they signed Philip Rivers, okay, we're gonna maybe throw 30, 35 times a game. I think you start getting up where they were getting up, you ain't winning many games.
Well, and
that's a bad look.
And Marlon Mack, it looks like maybe done. So now you're going to be married to Jonathan Taylor, and that's, I don't know how that's going to work out. I mean, he looked pretty good, but I give Jacksonville some credit because Doug Marrone, very handsome man, I might add, one of the handsomest. I think he did a hell of a job. He had him ready. All right, we got a lot more games to get to. What do we have here?
Boomer Naturals.
And I have to say, these are, I have one here. They're just, they feel so much better.
Is that a
better.
New one?
No, this is one of the ones I ordered originally.
Oh, okay.
It's just, I don't know that I've worn it very often, but the quality of these things is so much better than anything else out there.
Yeah, and guys, you can get these Boomer Natural masks, not only from us, which you can. You can use my promo code Hoffman and you'll save 20%. But you can also, if you're like, oh, I don't want to order online, that's okay. That's okay. I mean, I'd prefer you use promo code Hoffman so they'll say, wow, that AJ in Houston is doing a great job for us. But if you don't, you can just go into CVS and say, hey, I'd like a Boomer Naturals mask. If you tell them you heard about it from me, they'll just look at you and say they don't care. But if you do want a mask, you can get it at CVS. They've got sizes for adults, teens, and children in stock now. And they have the nano silver technology woven into the fabric, which is going to protect you. And that's what it's all about, protecting you. And they donate a face cover for every order to nonprofits and charities, helping veterans, Native Americans, homeless shelters. So just helping people out, which is a great thing. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com. Use that promo code Hoffman. You'll save 20%. That's code Hoffman at BoomerNaturals.com. Or just hit up a CVS and ask for a Boomer Naturals mask. That's BoomerNaturals.com.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And
LSU fan being so defensive of Joe Burrow is hilarious to me. Like Captain Pope said, Burrow QBR 20.2, Tyrod Taylor QBR 26.5, but Burrow isn't close to being serviceable. I got news. 20.2 QBR, not serviceable in the NFL. Not.
Nope.
Get 26.5, not serviceable. And I'm just saying, it's one game. All I was talking about, but you guys are so connected to this dude, it's almost weird. Like, what other, like, if I said Aaron Rodgers just doesn't have it anymore, or Tom Brady, here's a good, Tom Brady's he's just losing the zip. He just doesn't quite have it anymore. That's blatant trolling of Michigan fan. No, he doesn't play for LSU anymore, Captain Pope. He's gone. He's not your guy anymore. He's just a football player now.
You know who else was the only?
It was Vince Young.
No, I'm going to say Johnny Manziel was the most
recent.
He was
bad, too. Yeah. But Vince Young was bad, too. I was like, why do you guys care?
Friggin' Aggies cared about Ryan Tannehill. They get mad at us for ripping him.
It's very odd. But no, 20.2 is not serviceable. He's saying that I was just trolling for attention by saying that he didn't look serviceable at that point. A 20.2 QBR, he had one good drive the entire game, and it was the very last one. So if you watch the highlights, you probably said, wow, Joe Burrow, that was some old good old Joe Burrows. And he says, Fat Aggie cost him the game. No, that dummy shovel pass that he threw that went the other way, that cost them the game. That cost them the game. They shouldn't have even been down to a kick.
Ravens, Browns, boy, Ravens didn't miss it.
Oh, I'm going to troll OU fan. Baker Mayfield's not a good football player. Sorry, guys. I know he's funny in commercials. I know he's clever. He's, you know, he seems like a likable dude. He just ain't that good at football.
This is one of those, it's hard for me because I know how good the Ravens are. And I look and I see a ton of talent on the Browns. I just don't see a good football team. And it just seems like year after year, it's like the Texans, only they're on a much lower level. You look at that and you say, man, they got all these guys on defense. They got Nick Chubb. They got OBJ. They got all these receivers. And they can't do anything against the Ravens. Now, I think a lot of teams are going to have trouble doing anything against the Ravens. But, you know, I don't know what to do with the Browns. I don't think Baker Mayfield is the answer. I think they had their chance to get an answer with several players that they passed on. But I also, like I said, I didn't like the new head coaching hire. There's a lot of things about the Browns that I don't like. And I'm not going to beat them up too much for getting their ass kicked by one of the best teams in football. But again, just compete a little bit.
And it's one thing for me to say that, you know, Joe Burrow, them throwing him out there early is a bad look. I mean, this is the start of year three for Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
By now, we should be starting to see something, right?
Yes, you should. Well, we should have started seeing something by the end of last year. Not gotten better from what he was for a short stretch his rookie year. He has devolved from that and hasn't looked like that good in a year.
If I told you week one last year that by week one this year, Kyler Murray his stock would be higher than Baker Mayfield's, would you have thought I was insane?
No, because I have questions about both of them.
Kyler Murray looked damn good yesterday.
Yeah,
Baker Mayfield hadn't had a game like that yet.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and look. He did have a couple pretty good ones his rookie year because I was...
Have one against the defending NFC champs? I don't think so.
No, but we haven't got to that game yet. So just be patient. You're already bouncing around too damn much.
Sorry.
The Chargers-Bengals we talked about.
Under, baby.
Yeah, that was way under.
Under, baby. Play of the week.
Saints-Buccaneers. And you know what? I got to tell you, it looked like same old Tom Brady from last year to me. And that pick he threw, I think if I'd have been in the front row, I could have gotten to that ball. It was just so telegraphed. And yeah, he has better talent. Although Mike Evans clearly had something wrong, but he's got better talent around him. Gronk didn't look like anything. Evans was clearly hurt. All that aside, he looks like last year's Tom Brady. And
well, one thing I'll say, the Saints front is very good.
Yeah,
They kept him move like he was on the run. He didn't have time. He did not have time. But the best plays he had all day were pass interference on balls that he underthrew.
Yeah.
I just don't see the arm with Tom Brady. And I said it a year ago, and I feel like I was right then. But, of course, people they're very, very slow to move on and realize that, you know, who did he have in New England last year? Well, so how old was he last year? Yeah. Guess what? He's a year older now. Really, Drew Brees didn't look great either. He looked like an old man, too. They both looked like garbage.
They look like garbage. They both didn't look like Drew Brees and Tom Brady that we're used to seeing. But I think the one thing watching the Bucs, I think with some more time to kind of figure things out and maybe play, you know, not having to play the Saints, I do see potential there, but I need to see more out of Tom Brady than that. I mean, the bad decisions, it's not going to get it done. And I do think that, Brees did not have his best game, but he really, you get a pick six and a blocked field goal.
Oh, yeah, they were in great field position all day.
It was a short field, so he didn't have to throw that much.
And by the way, Tom Brady just ahead of Baker Mayfield, Tyrod Taylor, and Joe Burrow in QBR yesterday.
I want to go through the QBR stuff here in a minute too, because I want to have some fun with that. But good win for the Saints to kick it off. And I think both these teams will look a lot better on offense moving forward than what we saw yesterday. Cardinals 49ers, you mentioned Murray with if not for the kneel downs, has 100 yards rushing. In addition to throwing the ball well, DeAndre Hopkins had a monster game. And, yeah.
I thought he didn't do anything.
What do you mean?
Did he do better or worse than the combined Texans receivers?
He had a pretty good game.
He was all right, huh?
Yeah.
But Kyler, they probably would have been better if he would have spread the ball around more, right? They would have been a better offense.
He threw to 6 different receivers.
Yeah, but if Hopkins were out of the picture, things would open up a little bit more for him, right? You think so?
Do you
This is me trolling Bill O'Brien. I know. This is real trolling.
Yeah.
Bill O'Brien's a moron.
Yeah. I mean, look, we've said that all along. It was a dumb trade. And that gives Murray a really good target and go along with some of the other players they have. And I still don't trust Cliff Kingsbury as a head coach, but boy, you got to give him credit for that game. That was a nice win over a team that, you know, like I said, made the Super Bowl last year. They didn't look like a Super Bowl team yesterday, but it's week one. And Kyler Murray, greater than Jimmy Garoppolo, at least on this day. So there. Walt says Mike Evans may have been hobbled yesterday, but he has like two games in his career with zero catches, both against the Saints. He did have a catch yesterday. He got a touchdown right near the end. So, Lattimore did a good job on him, but he did not look right. And then finally, your Sunday night game. Your beloved Cowboys lose to the Rams 20-17. The big discussion there was whether or not that was offensive pass interference. I think Jalen Ramsey sold it pretty well.
I do too.
I don't think it was an egregious call like a lot of people are saying. It's not a call I would have made, but you know, again, in real time, especially the way Ramsey reacted, it looked pretty bad. But then after that, they didn't do anything, and that's my one.
But how about before that, not kicking a field goal to tie the game?
That was an interesting choice there. And I've
heard people today say tying the game in that situation does nothing. All you do is give the Rams the ball with a chance to kick a field goal for the win. What? When did that become how football's played?
Yeah.
You have a chance to tie a game late in the game. You tie the game and then you ask your defense, hey, don't let them kick a field goal. Now it's basically like, oh, well, it's assumed they're going to be able to go down and kick a field goal, so we've got to go for seven here, even though we're only down three. We've got to make them get seven to beat us. No, you've got to get yourself back in the game.
Well, I saw McCarthy's explanation of it, and he said he wanted to make a statement that he could trust his guys to get the first down. And, like, okay. I don't know that it worked. I don't think that statement quite was what you wanted. But, man, did that offense not look like pretty much the same Cowboys offense that they were under Jason Garrett? I mean, I didn't see a whole lot different other than they lost to a team that might be a playoff team, which they always do, and Dak couldn't rally him in the fourth quarter, which, you know, he doesn't do. And for the Cowboys to win, Zeke Elliott has to. I mean, I saw some good things out of him. Alden Smith looked like a pretty good player for a guy who hadn't played in 5 years. And, I mean, I really feel like they'll get better. I mean, again, new coach. I'm not going to write them off after one game. I still think that they can be a Super Bowl contender, but I need more out of Dak Prescott.
I'm also not totally certain that Dak is the guy still, which that's not anything new from me.
And, yeah, that's... To me, the biggest question is
it feels like if Dak was the guy, he wins that game yesterday.
Well, he had a really good first half. I mean, he did what he always does. He has you in the game, and I mean, he was like 14 of 17 at one point. But, man, I don't want him trying to rally me in the fourth quarter. And that's been a problem, and at some point he's got to start doing that. All right. 713-780-3776. Hopefully we'll have do we have Lance scheduled here next? That would be awesome.
We do. We'll have him.
A little football with Lance Erline, but right now you have to tell the people about
Go Solutions. I didn't know. I didn't hear Tyler. TGS is who I'm going to tell you about. And if you own your home, listen, if you don't own your home, you don't have to pay attention to this commercial. If you do own your home and you don't want a little bit of extra money, you don't have to listen either. But if you're a homeowner and you could use a few extra bucks in your pocket, send a text to TGS. Text the word money to 232323. They already know what you can be saving, and they want to help you out. All you got to do is send that text. They're going to ask for your address. Reply back. You'll get a full quote and proposal with excellent coverage within 15 seconds, just like that. And the company, the savings, it's legit. Nearly perfect online rating. Over 1,000 reviews. The average customer saving nearly $900 a year. I saved over $1,000 annually on my homeowner's insurance. You could save even more than that. If you have a super big fancy pants house, you might save $3,000. Lance said he's heard people saving $3,000, which is crazy, but it's possible. They're open right now. Give it a shot. What do you got to lose? Text the word money to 232323. Start saving today with TGS Insurance.
ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Guess what? Time for Lance Zierlein. You want to talk a little football or a little everything? Lance is the man. I bet you Lance knows a good seafood restaurant downtown for the people.
There's one in the Heights called Land and Sea, 1752, I think. That's a really good one. La Fisheria downtown.
That is a good one. I'd forgotten about that. So I don't know who's open either. That's the other thing, but that's a really good one. We've been there several times.
Yeah, that's really good. I like that one a lot.
All right, give us your thoughts on the action yesterday. What stood out to you the most?
I think Baker Mayfield. I tell you what stood out is, I brought this up on the show this morning. If you just go right down the list of teams with mobile quarterbacks versus, okay, first if you say who had the most mobile quarterbacks, more mobile quarterbacks. Then the most mobile quarterback won more times than not. But if you really just get right down to it, because there's some games where both guys, you know, have some mobility. Tyrod Taylor, Joe Burrow, for the Chargers and the Bengals. It's really getting to be a league where you have got to have quarterbacks who can make plays for themselves. And I think when you look at the Cleveland Browns, one of the things that's starting to stand out to me is that it's looking like it Baker Mayfield. Sometimes good college players are just good college players. That's just what they are. And I know people got hyped up on Baker because he came out of the gate quickly, but the second year is always about, you know, adjustments, defense coordinators against quarterbacks, and then you either rise to the occasion or you don't. And it looks like defensive coordinators have found something with Baker that they can work on. And Odell Beckham Jr., I think, was not a good add to that locker room. I don't think you needed to add that kind of personality who can be a disruptive personality in a locker room with a young quarterback. They have talent. But, you know, Lamar Jackson is the ultimate playmaker in the league right now, and he's getting ready to come into Houston and, you know, stomp some heads. So we'll see if the Texans are more ready than the Browns were. But when you look across the league, I mean, Matt Ryan does a nice job of going for yards and adding up stats for your fantasy team. But Russell Wilson's a winner. I mean, he's been as consistent as they can be. And, you know, he was fantastic too. There's another one. You look at Kirk Cousins versus Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers still is mobile, and he had a great game. So the mobile quarterbacks had good games yesterday, and I just thought that kind of stood out because I think
– Well, you forgot Deshaun on Thursday.
Both of those guys have mobility. I mean, Deshaun is the more mobile of the two quarterbacks, but then you have a guy with special arm talent. But you got to be a playmaker and a play extender. And I would classify Pat Mahomes as a play extender for sure.
Yeah, I looking at some of the things that happened in the AFC South. What happened to your boys, Colts, this weekend, man?
I don't know. I was driving back. I didn't get to watch the actual game. But I don't know what happened to them, to be honest. I mean, I know they didn't run the football. I can guarantee you this. If you have Jonathan Taylor on your football, fantasy football team, you can just load up on that because quarterback is up now. And there is no way the Colts are going to be happy with running the ball as little as they did. So they had 27 carries for the whole game. I would expect that number to be closer to 40 in the next game, at least. So get ready because Jonathan Taylor's going to be from, you know, Wisconsin to, you know, he's going to go from Wisconsin to the Colts, and it's just going to be like the same workload from here on out. I'll bet you that.
I mean, did we? If I had told you going into the game, I don't know. I don't know what their plan was in the offseason. I guess I just assumed that their plan was to get Phillip Rivers and have him sort of be a game manager. Yeah. But if I said they're bringing in Phillip Rivers to throw 46 times in a game, there's no way that's real, right? That's
no way. Their game there's plan. No way. That's not what they want to do. So that's why I'm curious to see how the game escalated in that shape and fashion, where you have a guy like Phillip Rivers who does not have enough arm anymore throwing the football that much. I mean, he's been a high turnover guy. You got to turn him into a game manager, and that's not what they were. So take note if you're the Houston Texans. If you're the Texans, you know, and I think every team is going to load the box up, and that my guess is that's what Jacksonville did. You're going to see a seven-man front. Indianapolis is going to try to get the eight-man front out of the box, you know, to try to lighten the box up. The only thing you can do is add wide receivers and spread it out. Well, that plays into what you want. You're like, yeah, go ahead, you know, throw the ball. We're fine with that, Phil Rivers, because we don't think you can beat him. So I think it's going to be an interesting chess match in the AFC South to see how teams play the Colts now. I think you take the runaway and you make Phillip Rivers beat you, and Frank Reich is going to want to, you know, he's going to want to attack defenses that try to do that. But to do that, he's going to have to throw the football. So it's going to be very interesting to see how that works out. And, you know, let's face it, I don't think the Colts defense didn't do enough yesterday either. Now we'll see the Titans, and we'll see what the Titans have in store tonight. I'm really interested to see what they look like. But we saw the Jacksonville Jaguars. I still don't think Jacksonville is going to be a major factor. But, you know, the Titans, I thought the Colts and the Titans are the two teams to watch for in the South. And the Colts took one on the chin. But, you know, I think the Texans are probably going to get off to a slow start based on who's coming in next week.
I took a lot of grief because LSU fan is apparently now new Aggie fan. But I wasn't impressed at all with Joe Burrow yesterday. I thought the last drive was nice. That looked like what Joe Burrow in college looked like. But mostly my bigger issue is the Bengals in a year where you've got no preseason and you're invested in Joe Burrow as your future. And you and I talked about this a lot around draft time. Joe Burrow was a guy that you really have to build an offensive system around him. And I don't think they've quite done that yet. It just seems odd to me, and I think it's a disservice to Joe Burrow that the Bengals are running him out there week one after no preseason. And I get that all they've got really is Ryan Finley otherwise, but I feel like the Bengals really should have gone out and gotten somebody, because right now they're not doing Joe Burrow any favors from what I saw week one.
Well, I think you got to protect him. I mean, and Joe's got some mobility. I thought he had an okay game. There were some really tight windows for him to throw to, and that's going to be a problem for him. That's the big concern. Is
you mean his wide receivers aren't running wide open all game like in college?
Yeah, exactly. Crazy. And that's not the way pro works. And I know fans all think. I mean, ask Baker Mayfield. Doesn't work that way anymore. So, you know, all those guys that come from systems where they have guys running wide open, it's not happening that way. And so you look at Joe Burrow's offense. They kept defenses on their heels most of the time because they always had the better talent, and they had an offensive scheme that would, you know, really put the pedal to the metal and really force you into decisions if you're a corner and a safety. If you look at, you know, once he gets to the pros, though, there's a paradigm shift where it now becomes a defensive coordinator's league against rookie quarterbacks. And until he's ready, and nobody can be ready at this point to play the chess, the mental chess. It's not possible. You have to go through experience. You have to see things that you've never seen. You have to learn from it. You have to watch tape. So Joe Burrow now is going to be at the mercy of defensive coordinators and at the mercy of a lack of experience while he learns things. Now, what they're going to figure out on him is they're going to really, based on the throws that I saw him making, which were, you know, towards the numbers, inside the numbers, and the little short controlled throws, he had good ball placement, so he was able to beat those windows. But the NFL is going to start to do, they're going to do the same thing that they did to Lamar Jackson, but for a different reason. They're going to get compact in the middle of the field, and they're going to push him out to the perimeters to make throws and say, you got to beat our cornerbacks now. And we're not playing press where you can throw it over the top with all that timing and all that ball placement. We are going to play off-man coverage, and we are going to force you, you know, we're going to allow our cornerbacks to take a peek into the backfield for a little bit so that you can't just, you know, make timing throws while we've got cornerbacks with their back to you. So I thought Joe was okay. I mean, it's game one. We got a long way to go.
Yeah, and it's not like a panic. I just think right now him being out there is a disservice to him is really what I was tweeting about.
Well,
I think it's my thing, AJ.
I think it could be if the offensive line doesn't protect a little better than I saw at times yesterday. I just feel like he's mentally tough enough to handle it. I don't think if you have any shakiness mentally where you start turning into a check down guy and you can't get through your progressions, 100% agree with you. Like, David Carr was not built for what he had to go through, but probably few quarterbacks are. I think Burrow is built a little differently mentally, where I think he can handle an early starting period. I'm not sure on Tua. Tua had everything just so, I mean, everything was handed to him on a silver platter at Alabama in terms of the talent at wide receiver. And I mean, Burrow had that too, but Burrow is still a one-year wonder. Let's not forget that. He was a one-year wonder in an offense that really, but that 1 year was unlike anything we've seen. Yeah. So I think every quarterback would benefit from not having to start the NFL season, you know, right day one, game one, their rookie season. Every single quarterback would, but that's just not the reality now.
Now you're trolling LSU fan. Shame on you, Lance. real quickly, your thoughts on the Cowboys last night. New coaching staff sure looked like a very similar team.
Yeah, well, you know, that injury is a big deal. He's such an important part of their defense. I think that's really going to hurt them. I liked what they did at the wide receiver position. I think adding CeeDee Lamb is watching Gallup. Gallup looks really confident this year. Amari's still a guy who it just looks like he's really lost a step, but CeeDee Lamb has added something to that offense. The question is going to be how they play defensively, how they handle wide receivers in the passing game. Wasn't super blown away by what they did defensively yesterday by any stretch. That was a game that, you know, I think obviously that was a game I think they could have won and maybe should have won. But I don't know. I'm not sure what to think in that division because the Eagles continue to do stupid Eagle stuff every single year. It's just unbelievable that that's who they are right now. So it may be one of those races to the wire between, you know, whoever the two most average teams are, whoever can step up and play a little bit better at the end of the year in that division again. It's not going to be Washington.
One question I want to ask you, I think year three is when you can really start to figure out what a guy is at quarterback. Uh-huh. And that class, you know, a couple years back, the Mayfield, Rosen, Josh Allen, Darnold, and Lamar Jackson. Obviously, it looks like Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen are miles ahead of the other three. But how much of that has to do with where they end up? And how, like, if Lamar Jackson gets drafted by the Browns and Baker Mayfield goes to the Ravens, are we talking about these guys the same way? How much of it's impacted by where they land?
I think for those two specifically, I don't think it really would have mattered because Lamar, you can stick Lamar Jackson on a different planet and he's going to go make plays. He just has special athletic ability. He's a little better passer than people thought. And I don't think he's impacted by the surroundings of the organization. I just think he's a guy who just goes and plays ball. And I think Baker is impacted by brand, impacted by the relationship with the receivers. I think there's a lot there where Baker needs certain things around him and maybe a certain type of offense. I just don't think that's the case with Lamar Jackson. I think Josh Allen is another guy who Bucky Brooks called Josh Allen. He thought he reminded him of Cam Newton. And at the time I was like, huh, that's interesting. And now I totally see it.
Yeah.
You know, sprays the ball all over the place, but has a big arm, can make some really impressive throws, can make plays with his legs, and is a freight train when he gets in the red zone, you know, which is a great weapon to have, or in short yardage situations, and he can hold up. You know, you worry about that with Deshaun Watson and with Lamar Jackson. You don't worry about it. You didn't worry about it, at least with Cam and now with Josh Allen. So I think Josh Allen's another one of those guys that actually, there's certain things he needs. Like, you can't ask him. You're right on that, AJ. You can't ask him to elevate an offense. You have to have a defense so that he is allowed to make some mistakes. But he just happened to be in the right system, the right team, and that allows for him not to be too fine or too perfect offensively, because that's not who he is.
All right, that's Lance Zierlein. You can hear him on the bench in the mornings here on 97.5 and 92.5. And great stuff as always, my friend. We will be talking to you again soon.
92.5 is working good at my house. I'll tell you that right now.
Working better than your phone, I can tell you that.
Is it?
Yeah, you're back on that cricket plan, I can tell.
Oh, no.
It's all right. Save that money, Lance. It's all good.
All right, quick break. We'll be right back. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here come the menaces to sobriety, like what? Super thuggers thumping on a cut.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. All right, let's zip through a quick Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right. Do you remember when Trump was elected, a whole bunch of people said, I'm moving to Canada?
I do.
Yeah.
No, I remember a bunch of people saying they would move to Canada if he was elected. And then he was elected and they were like, yeah, damn it.
Well, the number was up a little bit, believe it or not. In 2015, a little over 6,800 Americans tried to apply for permanent residency in Canada. After Trump's inauguration, that figure jumped over 9,000. So 2,200 people took up that threat, which in the grand scheme of things is pretty small.
Yeah.
But it has yet to dip below 8,700 in the years since. So a couple thousand people a year extra have tried to move to Canada because of that. I think that's a... I'm just going to go with that's a pretty small number.
Yeah, nobody's moving to Canada over that.
Mm-hmm. And I kind of think that... It's probably for other reasons.
We make idle threats all the time.
Yeah. What? Will you threaten your idols?
I mean, maybe.
Okay. Anyway, that's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right. I wanted to get to this real quick because Pro Football Focus tweeted out, is Tom Brady washed? His 82.9 grade, the seventh highest among QBs in week one, says otherwise. I don't know how, and I know part of what they do is it's all interpretive, right?
Yeah.
How do you look at that game and give him an 82.9
grade? You didn't watch the game.
I mean, there's no way.
That's all there is to it. You didn't watch the game.
And, you know, QBR, not flawless, but let me just give you the names down the list of the QBR, and you tell me, okay, that sounds right to me. Lamar Jackson, 94.1.
I mean, obviously, he was the guy this week.
Aaron Rodgers, 93.
He was right behind him.
Patrick Mahomes, 90.4.
Also good.
Russell Wilson, 87.5.
I was actually surprised he wasn't higher.
Yeah, I mean, he had a pretty great game.
I would have put him right there with Lamar Jackson, honestly.
Fifth in the league, again, Kyler Murray, 85.
Yep, big game.
Cam Newton, 79.7, number six.
It's higher than I would have thought, but okay.
Theodore Bridgewater, 75.5.
That's a little higher than I would have thought, too.
Yeah, he had a pretty good game.
Yeah.
Dakota Prescott, 73.4.
Higher than I would have expected, for sure.
Eighth in the league. Although, again, he had a very high efficiency rating up until the game mattered. Gardner Minshew.
Lower than I would have expected.
Yeah, 73.3.
Three touchdowns, no picks. I thought that he was going to. Yeah,
and a high completion percentage, but.
Yeah.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, number 10 at 72.7.
Higher than I projected.
This one probably lower. Derek Carr.
Lower than I projected, yep.
Drew Brees.
Higher than I projected.
71.9, number 12. Josh Allen, number 13 at 71.2.
Lower than I projected.
Yeah, I felt like that should have been higher. Matt Ryan, 14th, 61.7.
About where he deserves it. Boy, that's a big drop-off from 13 to 14. You said 10 points or something?
10 points.
Matt Ryan was a stat monster, but that's where QBR comes into play and tells you that he didn't really have his position, his team in a position to win at all.
Kirk Cousins, 59.3 at
another
15.
Another big stat day that I don't want to say it was empty numbers because at least that was a somewhat close game. But
well, I mean, it wasn't really close.
A lot of empty numbers.
Yeah, they got a couple scores late to make it close. It really wasn't. Philip Rivers, 16.
I would have thought lower.
3. Mitch Trubisky, 17.
I would have thought higher.
Well, I guarantee you he was a hell of a lot lower than that before the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
You know what? Maybe the Bears were right to take him over Deshaun Watson because guess who's 18? Deshaun Watson, 53.8, which about right. Here are the players who were below Deshaun. Dwayne Haskins, 45.5. Actually, I thought he'd be a little better than that.
Yeah.
Matthew Stafford, 45.5. Jared Goff, 44.3.
I was going to say he's probably the lowest rated winning quarterback, but Tyrod Taylor.
Nope, not as long as Tyrod Taylor's in the world. Jimmy Garoppolo, 35.3.
Okay.
Tom Brady, who PFF gave an 82.
Okay.
34.6. But he's still better than Baker Mayfield. Tyrod Taylor, we mentioned, at 26.5. Jose Burrow at 20.2. But you know what? Joe Burrow was better than two quarterbacks yesterday.
Two highly drafted quarterbacks.
That's right. Samuel Darnold, 19.3. Carson Wentz, 14.2.
Carson Wentz, I can't get over that performance yesterday. You know what? I got lucky, too, because I bet I made a play on the Eagles this weekend. Eagles -3 first half.
Yeah, that, okay.
Easy money.
Yeah.
Like, if I would have just played full game, normally if I play first half, I'm playing full game too.
Yeah.
And this time I was like, no.
I've gotten more where I like playing second half of games where, you know, where I feel like I've picked something up on the game flow. And, you know, but I that was a smart play the first half. Definitely.
But it's also, I mean, he threw two touchdowns. It feels like, I don't know. I guess they've got to factor in sacks, and I feel like he was sacked 100 times.
Yeah, and interceptions that lead to points are also big factors in that. And you know, when you give up 6, and that's one of the reasons why Tom Brady's number much lower on QBR than it is on PFF, which I think I'm officially completely 100%. I used to look at it for offensive line numbers.
And now you're breaking up with them.
Yeah, I think I'm completely done with them. I mean, it was stuff like that. You're just like, okay, whatever. Ever since Collinsworth got involved in that thing.
All right, I got to tell you guys about Elate Health. September, we're in September. It's Prostate Awareness Month. If you or someone you know is struggling with BPH, an enlarged prostate that's non-cancerous, take control and take care of it without surgery. Without surgery, mind you. Don't do the surgery. It's bad. There's a drill that goes inside your pee hole. Your penis might never work again. A lot of bad stuff going on. But none of that happens at Elate Health. Talk to Dr. Doe. Talk to Dr. Manavis about the revolutionary, minimally invasive procedure, PAE, which is done right there in the office. You're in and out in a couple hours. And guys, it really is an amazing, amazing procedure. And it uses x-ray technology to fix your prostate without, you know, putting a drill inside your penis. That's the way to go. PAE is covered by most insurance plans. Learn more today, 832-850-4618, or check them out online. ChoosePAE.com. That's ChoosePAE.com.
ESPN 97.5.